don't know if you knew this or not, you're the bread church. And when I got here, it was, oh, you're going to the bread church. I was here, a month or two ago, and I was sitting next to Brenda Siebold, and she said, raise your hand. And I said, what for? Just do it. So I raised my hand, and I got bread, and I'm like, this is fantastic. And so, of course, I passed it on to my wife, who is now here, Melinda. And do you have a loaf, dear? Fantastic. I will just want you to know I'll be thinking of you all fondly this next week as I eat toast. So it is good to be here all the way from Michigan. We drove a long way, a very long way, and got to see a part of the country that I'd never seen before. It's beautiful. And now to be here in California, we are truly, truly blessed. And I'm excited to be here because I believe God has called us to be here. And that is the first and really the last reason. The weather is just frosting on the cupcake. And one of the benefits where I'm living now, first of all, it doesn't rain here. What is up with that? I mean, it rains all the time in Michigan. And your rainy season, I hear, is like 2 or 3 days a week. Is that right? Is that the rainy season? I mean, are you kidding? That's just life in Michigan. So to be able to go outside and to just sit in nature and talk to the Lord and listen to Him through His Word, it's been really powerful. And what I want to share with you today is something that I came across just recently. A guy by the name of, have you heard this guy before? Og. His name is Og. And I thought I could say, you know, just saying Og doesn't seem right. It's Og. And he is this gigantic, I think his name means gigantic or huge. Some define his name as long neck. The guy had a 13-foot bed made out of iron, probably because he broke the other beds. It's too rough. We got to go iron with Og. He's too big. And when I read about him, it just kind of blew me away. I'm like, man, I've read the Bible before. Why hasn't Og stood out before? And so then I'm like, Lord, teach me something about this king. What does he have to do with my life? Please show me what I need to learn from this king. And he's so amazing. I believe that when we pray, Lord, we want to get to know you more, he always answers that prayer. And I want to share with you this morning some of the things that I believe the Lord has blessed me with and shown me in my life how to live and how to grow and how to become closer to him. So I want to do that. But before I do, can I pray again? Is that okay? I need prayer. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this opportunity again to worship you. And Lord, you know me. I can really mess this up. And I don't want to. So please, Lord, would you please give me the words to speak? Give me your words. And Lord, just would you remove all the bad ones that I put in? And Lord, may we leave here today, all of us, drawn closer to you. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we get to Og, I need to kind of set the stage back here a little bit. Og was a guy that the children of Israel ran into. And he was on the cusp of the promised land. But before we do that, we need to talk about what had happened to the children of Israel before this. My sermon today has 4 points, just 4. The first one I want to give to you is that God wants you with Him. That's why He created you to be with Him. Do you know why He wants you to be with Him? It's very simple. He loves you. He loves you. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. I read that somewhere and I thought, that's good. You ever thought about, you know, if you drew some really bad drawing in school and you brought it home, he'd put it up there. Because he loves you very much. He wants to be with you. He's done everything that he can to make that happen. Spirit of Prophecy says this, that when he gave Jesus, his son, to die for you, he emptied all of heaven. He could give no more. Please, if you decide to tune me out right now or you're about to fall asleep, don't forget that point. He loves you very much, and he wants to be with you. Unfortunately, many of us, well, actually, the Bible says all of us, have sinned, and that sin has caused a separation between us and the Lord. And we have lost our way. The children of Israel understand this. As you go through and you read their story if we wanted to, we'd go all the way back to the garden, but the children of Israel, they had decided to make a whole lot of just terrible choices. They were brought, you know what, do you guys remember why they were brought into Egypt? You guys remember? They're starving, right? And God raised up Joseph, and Joseph won favor with the king, or excuse me, Pharaoh. And because of that, all of the children of Israel got to come to Egypt. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 1. Let's start Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. But the sons of Israel, I'm sorry, are you there? Say amen. Anybody need more time? Say hallelujah. I heard somebody mumble it. I'll give you a minute. Okay. Exodus 1, verse 7 and 8. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty so that the land was filled with them. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. That's interesting to me. A Pharaoh rose up, he didn't know Joseph. Now the land was filled in Goshen with all of his relatives, but there was a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. Why? Because all of his relatives weren't acting like Joseph. They lost their way. That spoke to me as I'm standing here before you, a sixth generation Adventist. Goes back a ways. And I realize that those generations aren't going to help me, as my great-grandmama would say, diddly squat my relationship with Jesus. Didn't know Joseph. And none of the people who were in Egypt apparently were modeling the character of Christ that they had seen in Joseph. And as a result, the Pharaoh did not like them at all. You see, the point number two, the children of Israel had lost their way. Here's my point. You have lost your way because you followed your ways instead of God. By the way, do you know what you call a person who has lost something? I just found this out this week. It was really amazing to me. There's actually the definition of a person who has lost something. Do you know what that is? Loser. You're a loser. I'm a loser. I just blew my mind. Wow. Lord, I'm a loser. Yes, you are. You were. A loser is somebody who has lost their way. We have a whole country in Egypt, well, a portion in Goshen, a bunch of losers. Who's to say, God, I got this. You brought us here, but we're going to stop listening to you. And as a result, we're going to follow our way. And as a result, we've lost your way and we've become losers. So we have a problem. We gotta fix this. The Lord says, I have to fix this. Why? Because he wants to be with you. It's the whole point. So here's what happens. He raises up Moses, correct? Moses tries to do it his way, and he ends up killing an Egyptian. So after 40 years in Egypt, he goes and spends 40 years in the wilderness to get his way back, to focus on Christ. And then he comes back, and God uses him to lead them out of Egypt. Now, what's interesting about this is they start to go out of Egypt, but some things have to happen first, isn't that correct? They go through plagues, 10 plagues. Is that right? And he tells the Pharaoh, listen, Moses says, hey, actually Moses tells Aaron, Aaron does the talking, Aaron says, hey, this is what we need to do, and unless you do it, plague number one, plague number two, he goes all through the end, and then finally the last plague is the Passover, correct? These people are slaves in Egypt. And what happens at the Passover, a lamb is slain, and after that experience, they are gained the freedom to leave Egypt. Nothing has changed today. If you are in Egypt, if you are in bondage to sin, the blood of Jesus Christ can get you out of it. Isn't that fantastic? If you are here today and you say, my life is so messed up, I don't know what to do, I can't see past today into the future, I have good news for you. Jesus died to give you a future, to get you out of the bondage that you are in. Now, that happens, and they start the process of going to the promised land. That didn't happen the next day. They didn't come out of Egypt and bam, they were in the promised land. That took a process. And I'm here to tell you that that was how it was and is for me. We might call that time sanctification. The work of a lifetime. I'm here to tell you that when I was in Egypt, it was a dark and dreary place. It was embarrassing. A sixth generation Adventist who had pedigree, who had membership. However, I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing more humiliating, embarrassing, you know, insert the word, than going to a church and feeling lost. It's terrible. I would go to church, put my time in, and then spend the rest of my time focusing on hell. I actually came to a point in my life where I just kind of felt like, yeah, I'm probably going to go there. Praise the Lord, he didn't come back during that time in his infinite mercy, or I would not have the promise of eternal home with him. But I was miserable. And I went to schools, Adventist Christian schools, from first grade on through my master's degree. Unfortunately, even though I did that, and I'm not blaming them, I chose not to have a relationship with Jesus. And you know what happened to me? This is very interesting. As soon as I graduated from high school, you know what happened? I had no one telling me what I should or shouldn't do. They didn't tell me when to sit, stand, when to eat, when to sleep. And when the cuffs came off, it was game on. And the whole row that I was sitting in, we all went out together, proverbially. I mean, it's like our whole section. You could see them out crazy, raising all kinds of cane on Friday night, wake up time to go to church on Sabbath, to hear a phenomenal speaker, then head to wherever we wanted to go out to eat that after church and talk about how great he was so that we could go take a nap and be well-rested for some serious sinning that night. Now, I'm not a legalist. I'm serious. It was serious sinning. And what, for a period of time of my life, that was actually, you know, I thought was pretty good. But what happened was Sunday morning, I'd wake up empty, miserable, sad. So Sunday kind of, I don't know, it's kind of try to recoup and focus so I could go back to class on Monday at the Adventist College. I was miserable. Probably one of the reasons why I decided to go into education, because I'm just passionate about showing people Jesus. I want our young people to have a relationship with Christ. Because if you don't have that, it's a waste. I mean, what's the point? So one of the again, Melinda and I coming out here to Weimar is so exciting, to this area, because I get the opportunity, and they actually pay me, to get up every day and share the love of Jesus with young people. And old people, if you want to come on over, you know. To talk about Jesus on a daily basis, to point to Him and say, hey, God, where should we go from here? Lead us. Man, it's awesome. Point number three. We established that you and I are losers. God wants to lead you back to where you belong. And here, what's interesting is, in that when you follow the children of Israel, how does he do that? Well, how does he manifest his presence during the day and during the night? Cloud by day, correct? Pillar of fire by night. Go to the book of Numbers. I want to show you something. I just a couple of things. I think it's just really cool. Numbers chapter 9. I was talking to a young lady the other day. She said in her devotional she was reading through the Bible, and she just finished Numbers. And I said, isn't that a wonderful book? And she thought I was weird. But it actually is pretty good. And I'm going to try to attempt to show you why. Numbers chapter 9, verses 17 to 23. Now imagine if this is how your life functioned. Okay, think about this. By the way, I hear pages turning. While you're turning, what establishes how you get up in the morning? Like, what sound? Do you have something that sounds the alarm? Do you have like an alarm clock? Is that how you get up? How many of you get up by the sound of an alarm clock? A couple of you. How many of you get up to the sound of your children? Your children. You wake up, and then there's, you know, my brother's here. Isaac's just looking you right in the face. Dad, wake me up. How many pets? All right, amen. All right, we got some pet lovers. All right, Pete is here. Fantastic. All right. So, how many of you just are naturally aware in the morning? You just wake up. Oh, wow. Oh, look at these people. Wow, that's a gift. That is not my wife. You did not raise your hand, correct? Well, look at what everything. This is amazing. Look at verses. We'll start in verse 17. Well, let's start at 15. Now on the day that the tabernacle was erected, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, and in the evening it was like the appearance of fire over the tabernacle until morning. You look up and say, God's here. By the way, if God didn't show up, what was it like there? Dark. Man, isn't that the way it is with us today? If you don't have God in your life, it is dark. Dark, miserable. When God showed up, it just light, maybe heat. Probably got cold in the desert. Bam, there's the Lord. So it was continuously the cloud would cover it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And whenever the cloud was lifted from over the tent, afterward the sons of Israel would then set out. And in the place where the cloud settled down, that's where the sons of Israel would camp. Isn't that great? Are we moving today? Nope. Right? You wake up, cloud's gone. Man, we got to go. That's what they did. They pick up the tent. All right, let's go. Come on, Jedediah. And they would just go. And then wherever the cloud would set, then they go, okay, let's go. Right here. Think about this. What if that's how you lived your life? Where is God leading me? I will follow that. I will go that direction. Because God, I trust you, Lord, that wherever you take me, that's where I belong. Wow. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I was claiming that promise as we were coming across the country. Iowa was brutal. I love, no offense to anybody from Iowa, but it was brutal. Lord, okay, if you say so, let's keep going. And then there's a couple of mountains I was claiming the name as I didn't know if I was going to get over them. See, we don't have mountains in Michigan. And they have mountains in South Dakota, definitely in Nevada. They like think, oh, I'm almost to California, and then, poof, Sierra Nevadas. Maybe not. I mean, it is crazy how it was like 3,000 some hundred feet. It is just awesome. I'm sorry, I have all kinds of issues, but Nevada, how many of you have traveled through Nevada? What is that? That is crazy. I totally was focusing on the children of Israel as we were going through Nevada because I'm thinking, this is probably it. 105 degrees, killer mountains, you needed a cloud. Right? Can you imagine with your staff walking that first mountain range? You'd be like, let's go back. But they had the cloud, and that was guiding them. That's why when I have a new appreciation. I have a new appreciation of this story after going through Nevada. I think they shot the Ten Commandments in Nevada. Charlton Heston is like, 15 miles from whatever place in Nevada is, and he's, behold, I think that's where it was. But these people were walking through, and the cloud was over them, and wherever it stopped, they stopped. Now, what's interesting is, as long as they followed the cloud, they didn't have any problems. When they decided to do things their way, they became lost, hence they were losers. Correct? So here comes the cloud. They've gone through everything. Go to the Red Sea. Oh, man. The cloud, they come in front of the Red Sea, and they know where they need to go because the cloud's over the Red Sea. Now, God says, okay, go. And they go, I don't know what to do. What are we going to do? This mountain's this way. Here come the Egyptians. Okay, hold on. Time out. He takes the cloud, right? Darkness to the Egyptians, fire to them. Okay, here's the deal. I need you to go through that sea. I'm just going to take a little time out now. So they don't kill you, but we have to go this direction because I want to be with you. And there's a place I need to take you. It's the promised land. You'll love it. Come on, let's do this. So then if you read in Exodus, it's great reading, good Sabbath reading. And it's just this epic statement, stand and watch, the Lord will fight for you. You know that great scripture? The next one's best. Why are you crying out to me, Moses? Go forward. Okay, got you, Lord. Let's go. But there's a sea. Just going. As soon as they put their foot in the water, poof, it split. Now they experienced all of this. They understood that God can do anything. But yet, as they go through, they run into Og. So here's where Og comes into the picture. I didn't forget about Og. Og's still there. He's where God told him to go. He was the next Red Sea. Now, again, here they are following the cloud, and then something happens very interesting. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy. The repeating of the law. I need to stay in Deuteronomy probably for life because I need the repeating of the law. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 21 excuse me, not 21. It is 13. Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have said to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands and of hundreds, of fifties and of tens, and officers of your tribes. Okay? And what happened was, so he's got these people who are good. They're helping him out with judgment. But now he's got this team of people who are talking to Moses. And they start giving him ideas. If you read on in Deuteronomy, they go, hey, here's the thing. God told us to go to the promised land, and we're following the cloud, and that's okay. But I think we need to spy out the land first. So we should do that. And Moses goes, hey, good idea, good idea. So again, they start to do their way, and they send 40 spies into the new land. Instead of just following the cloud and going forward, they send 40 spies forward. They come back, and 38 of them say what? They saw Og. And Sihon, they're like, man, we look like grasshoppers. These guys are huge. And were they lying? No, they're telling the truth. And what two goes, no, I think we get them. Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, we can get this. And they don't listen to the Lord. They send out their own things. Instead of just following the cloud, they try and do things their way. And so they got lost again, and they become losers. And they go back in the wilderness, and they go for a while. And I'm like, Lord, tell me, what is that speaking to me? And he said, Chad, listen, here's what I want you to understand. I have saved you. I've brought you out of Egypt, and I'm taking you to the promised land. And we've had some really big, epic events in your life. See, there's been times where you have surrendered to me, and I have taken away those problems. However, there's still a couple of giants in your life that you have run from. And because of it, you have not been ready to enter into the promised land. See, just like the children of Israel, instead of trusting the cloud, I went running back, go, oh, you can't take this away from me, Lord. I don't know if you've had that. Maybe your giant this morning is, I'm from Weimar, so diet. Maybe your giant this morning is your marriage. Maybe your giant this morning is entertainment. Well, what has happened is God has taken you from Egypt, he's taken you to the promised land, and he's saying, I can get you victory. Whatever comes in your way, I can take care of. I can make it go away. All you got to do is trust in me. And what happens is sometimes we go and we say, oh, here's the giant that I'm afraid of, that and you run, instead of letting God take care of the problem for you. And that's what they did. They went and wandered around the desert. Man, I've done that. I don't know about you, but I've done that. I've run around in life, and I've run scared away from an issue that God could have taken care of if I just would have surrendered it to him. But I didn't. I was miserable. By the way, I want you to know that the giant doesn't go away. They went around in the desert for 38 years, and they came back, and here's Og. He's still there in his 13-foot iron bed. And as they came closer, what's interesting now is as 38 years got them wiser. That's why old people are so smart. I'm not very smart. I'm on my way to being smart. My students would say, yeah, you're smart because you're so old now. I'm 37. Old. Yeah, I'm old. But I don't know if you've noticed this now, but the older you get, the more intelligent you get. No offense, young people. It's just the truth. And the more you agree with the parents that you had that you didn't agree with 20 years earlier. Like, man, Dad, I can't believe you keep saying that. And then you get to be their age, and this is the payback for grandparents. They get to be the age that they just, you know, your age, where you were when you were telling them what to do. Now they hit that age. I hope I'm explaining this correctly. Now as grandparents, they have kids that were their age, and they go. They start whining to you as grandparents. My son is doing this, and I just can't believe it. And he just won't listen to me, and he makes faces when I tell him these things. And you sit back as a grandparent and go, oh, that's too bad. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I don't believe in karma, but that's good stuff. All you teenagers that have given me dirty looks, your day's coming. Trust me. But Og does not go away, so they come back around. And the problem has gotten bigger, and the fight's going to be even more intense. This is something that, on a serious note, that if you don't address the giant that you're dealing with, guess what? The giant will be bigger and your children will deal with it. I can't tell you how many times I've heard of child abuse. I talked to the parent and the parent was abused themselves. Drug addiction. The parents and the grandparents had drug addiction themselves. The giant won't go away. And you need to make the decision on whether you're going to let the Lord, you're going to take your stand and let the Lord fight for you or not. Well, after 38 years, they figured out the battle, how to approach it, and that was let God take care of it. And they came back around. If you're reading an excellent book called Patriarchs and Prophets, the cloud was going forward. God said, I want you to take the land of the giants. Now, let me explain to you this Og dude. He was dirty, man. He was nasty. He was the vilest of the vilest. He was the toughest of the toughest. The area where he lived, where if you've been through Nevada, you know what I'm talking about. These just steep rising plateaus in the middle of nowhere. And they had these little rocks and these caverns where you could hide. And all of his giant buddies were on top of him with their spears. And they were, you guys are awful. And they were just throwing down curses at the children of Israel. And Og was just blaspheming God towards them. But he didn't realize the cloud had stopped over his land. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. These wicked people blaspheming God's name, and the cloud just calmly and surely, this is where you need to go. And the people said, there? Yeah, there. They looked to Moses. Read it in the chapter. Moses calmly said, go forward. God has given them into your hands. Okay. This is the new generation. The old generation, who were a bunch of scaredy cats, died in the wilderness. This was the new generation. And they had been taught by their parents, trust me, do not disagree with God. Because obedience leads to victory. That's my fourth point. Obedience leads to victory. Someone calls you a legalist, you just say, no, I'm not a legalist. I am a winner. I just want to do what God says. And as the cloud was over Og, the children of Israel said, okay, let's do it. And they went forward, and the Bible says, in that chapter, in Spirit of Prophecy, says, God gained the victory. If you have this giant in your life that you can't seem to beat, I got great news for you. God will give you the victory. Just be willing to follow Him. And obedience leads to victory. It's as simple as that. Simple as that. The children of Israel were able to go into the promised land because they followed the cloud. They followed the God of the cloud. We are on the edge of the promised land. And God is saying, will you follow me? The reality is this. Those of us who will be alive when Jesus comes will have to enter into a warfare of the nastiest giants this world has ever seen. Question is, are you ready to go into that battle? I want to close. I actually have two appeals. My first appeal is a very basic, simple appeal. There might be someone here today who's in Egypt. You were like me. Your giant this morning is commitment. You've never made a commitment to Jesus. You've never done it. You might have played church. You might have never known of Jesus Christ, but you're here today. And God is calling you today. He says, I've got this one. Let me take it. Come forward. If you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ and you want to do it today, I ask you to come forward. If there's anybody here, anyone, don't be afraid. You're in church. Trust me. They'll like it. Amen. Making this commitment is the greatest thing you'll ever do. Come here, sister.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Is there anybody else? I'll just start crying with you. Is there anybody else? So make that commitment. Praise the Lord. Here's my second appeal. My second appeal is for those of you who have come out of Egypt, but yet when you came before that huge giant, you ran. A giant could be, like I said, a marriage. Maybe you have a rough marriage. And instead of dealing with it, instead of struggling with it, you've run away and your marriage is in shambles, but you come to church every day smiling. This giant with you. Maybe you're dealing with that. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction that nobody knows. Today is the day that God wants to give you victory. Maybe you're dealing with the addiction of entertainment. Some form of entertainment has got a hold of you and it is just ruining your life. Today's the day. Whatever your giant is, today's the day that God wants to give you victory. If you want to come forward, please do it. Come forward. Say, today is the day I want to get victory. Come forward. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Anybody else? Come forward. You want to slay that giant. God will give you the victory today. Come forward. Amen. God wants to be with you for eternity. What's beautiful is even though you are lost, God knows the way and He's going to take you home. Obeying Him, following Him, will lead to victory. Welcome to the house of winners. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Lord, how great you are. We come to you today asking you to defeat the enemy. To take away the giants in our lives and just destroy them.
God, we want to follow you for eternity. We need your guidance, your leadership. Lord, may nothing get in the way of that. And as young and old have come forward, I, who have been speaking, I came forward. I had nowhere else to go but me as one of them, Lord. I ask you, give us victory. Lord, and we look forward to today soon when you will come in the clouds of glory to destroy all wickedness forever. May that day be soon. And Lord, I pray, boldly pray, that everyone in this room would raise up to be with you in the clouds forever. Lord, please grant us that prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Thank you all. Remember, there is a potluck following the service. We'd ask that we save most of the tables inside here for our elder folks, since it will be a warm day. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you this week, and may we move forward in the power of Christ.